Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here Thursday, June the 17th, 2021, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. And big show this morning. Coming up next hour on the program, we'll have our monthly visit with the Queen of Helpful Hints. She's a best-selling author. She's been doing Good Housekeeping magazine for many, many years. Heloise for Summer Helpful Hints, with Summer Helpful Hints, coming up next hour. But this hour, we've got to turn to something very serious going on here in Marion, which we have covered on this station quite extensively and will continue to cover as new developments arise. Now, this week, a few new developments have arisen in the case involving City Auditor Robert Landon. Now, we all remember back, this started with 1.28 million dollar mispayment to the state that should have gone to the IRS. Because of that mistake and some others, a special committee was formed with city council members, Councilman Schauber, Kai Mead, and Ayers Ratliff. They have subpoena power. That investigation has been going on. Now, what we learned this week is there are some new developments going on in that investigation, or through that committee, however you would like to phrase it, in City Council. We also got a letter this week from City Auditor Robert Landon that was sent out on June 15th, which we will read here momentarily. And we also learned, as of yesterday, the first group to report this was Crawford County Now, that for the third quarter, because of this payment, the IRS has levied a penalty to the city of Marion, $66,217.34. Now, this is just for the third quarter. There are still two other quarters in question. Now, the auditor's office has asked for forgiveness for these penalties, but at this point, we don't know where that's at. So, because of all that and all the happenings that are going on, we're going to turn to one of the people on this committee who's been very vocal about this issue since day one. He is the Democratic Second Ward City Councilman, Ayers Ratliff. Ayers, how are you?
Doing very well. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. Well, Ayers, seems like a lot has went on, especially this week in regard to this. Let's start with the last two meetings. We have not talked about these. I think Auditor Landon was present at one or two of these meetings of the committee. What's been going on with that committee, in that committee, investigating the auditor?
Right. So he. So we had a committee meeting a week ago, this past Monday, on the. What would it be? About, I think, the 7th. And, you know, we had a bunch of questions for him. Had some discussion. He would not answer probably 80% of our questions that we had. You know, we did ask a lot of questions of his deputy auditor, and he's always very helpful and kind and. You know, I think tried to be as honest as he can be with the information that he has. But, you know, found out, you know, some things, but, you know, the problem is when somebody is playing cat and mouse with you when you're trying to find out information and they don't, and they're not honest with information and they try to hide information from you, it's really hard to investigate something. And so we ended up just referring everything down to the state of Ohio's auditor for an investigation there, because we're really not going to be able to properly do one here just because there's no cooperation from the auditor himself.
Now, there are two questions that arise from this. One of the big stories out of this early on, when the committee was formed here locally, was that you guys would have subpoena power. Now, a lot of people were asking when Auditor Landon or anybody else, the deputy auditor, were asking questions, are they under any kind of oath at this point?
You know, we had the ability to put them under oath. The chairman of the committee did not want to go that route. He talked to the auditor himself. The auditor said he would be there. The auditor said he would be cooperative. And then, you know, the very first question that I had that he wouldn't answer, you know, I reminded the chairman of that, and I said, you know, this is why I wanted to issue subpoenas in the oaths, because this is what I expected him to do. This is what he's done in every single council meeting. He won't answer your questions. And so, you know, again, it's really hard to investigate something when there's no cooperation from the other side.
The chairman of this committee, Jason Schauber, is a Republican. I believe he's the only Republican on this committee. Do you believe that had anything to do with that decision?
You know, I think that Jason Schauber went forward the best way that he thought how. I'm one that, although, you know, I'm a Democrat, he's a Republican. Jason Schauber, as many Republicans that I've served with here, you know, locally, is not partisan and, you know, truly does try to get down to the brass tacks of things, and I think really does try to do what's best for the city. I have the utmost respect for Councilman Schauber.
A lot of people listening would say this power was given to subpoena people and put people under oath. By all accounts, by you, who's on the committee, and I think a few other people, the auditor was not answering the questions. So why not use the power of oath? Because if you put somebody under oath and they do tell a lie, or they are evasive in that way, charges might face them that they might not face if they were not under oath.
So the only thing that a subpoena does is get you there. And he was there. And taking an oath is supposed to make you tell the truth. But when you ask a question and they say, I'm not answering that, you know, they're not technically lying. They're, you know, and I know, you know, at one point he said, you are hounding me with these questions. Why don't you ask me what time that I went to bed last night? You know, that's not, you know, there's zero cooperation. Like he doesn't see any severity to what he has done or not done, and, you know, just thinks he answers to nobody.
Now, what type of question would get an answer, I'm not answering that?
So my very first question is, what experience and education do you have in payroll processing?
And the answer was, I'm not answering that.
Correct.
Now, in your opinion, why is that? Because, I mean, that's not a real probing question.
No, and we gave him our questions prior to the meeting. You know, he said he got mine up, I think he said at 10:30 in the morning. You know, we did not meet until 6:30 that night. No question that I had on there were probing questions. You know, they were all kind of fact-finding questions. And, you know, it was never intended to be a gotcha moment, because, you know, we're all in this situation together. He put us there. And I've said from the start, I wanted to identify exactly how that we got here and what we need to do to fix the fact that we're never going to get here again. But when he makes a statement that I would handle everything in the exact same way over again, I don't know where you go from there. Because he doesn't even have I don't know if he has the ability to learn, but he doesn't have the desire to learn.
When was that statement made that he said he would?
That was during the 7th, during that during the investigative meeting.
So, now, was he referring to how he handled the situation once he became aware of it, or was he referring to how the situation happened to begin with?
So he was referring to, because at this point we were talking about the fact that he paid the second $1.28 million, and at this point out of the city coffers would have been, $2.56 million gone instead of $1.28, and he didn't have authority to pay the second amount of money, and he needed to come to city council and let us know what's going on, get a vote from us to send the second $1.28 million, and at that point, you are alerting the public as well. And, at that point, he said, I would handle the same thing the exact same way all over again.
So what happened this past Monday?
So this past Monday, from the investigative committee, we sent a resolution for council to pass on to the state that is looking into how he handled the $1.28 million. And also his intentional material misstatement of facts about the city's books, because, in trying to deflect what he had done, he keeps wanting to bring up $100 million wrong on our books from the previous auditor, which has been shown time and time again that is completely wrong. Also, in this past Monday's meeting, the finance committee met over the fact, and I think we had talked about this, that he intentionally had hired unqualified people in his office, not following the city ordinance called the Yarger Report, which is passed to set forth every job description in the city, what the pay grade for that job description is, and what qualifications that job has to have before that you can hold it. And he does not follow the Yarger Report and has put the city in financial risk from, hiring a person to be the internal auditor that, was scammed and, had run the city's credit card, which he wasn't authorized to do, and spent $2,000 on gift cards that he then downloaded to, a scam artist and tried to spend $2,000 more and spent $2,000 of his own money.
On that particular matter, a lot of people have asked this. We've had several conversations about this on this station. If the person who did this was not authorized to run the city credit card, do we know how they got a hold of it? Or how that even happened yet?
Well, so, so the way that is done in the auditor's office, again, from what I can gather, because he will not be forthright with information when he's asked a question, is that he has his credit card in a safe in his office, and you just go there and you open it up and take the card and write on, he has a sign out sheet for his card, which, again, he is the authorized user on the card, so why you would have a sign out sheet to have unauthorized people go and use the card that's in your name, I will never understand.
Now, when it comes to sending this to the state, when that vote went to city council, what was the vote to do it?
That vote went 6-3.
6-3. Now, who were the people who did not vote for that?
Those would have been, the makeup of council is that they're, and I know all over social media from every person on council that is a Republican, they continue to say, we need to make council, we need to take council out of Democratic control. But the makeup of council that they continue to not want to tell anybody is that there are three Democrats on council. There are two independents and there are four Republicans. So nobody actually has a majority, but the Republicans have more than anybody else. But three Republicans voted no, and that was Karen Fosnaugh, Josh Feliciano, and Mike Neff.
Now, did they give any reason to this, or was this just a straight no vote?
So the Mike Neff had said something about he's just tired of the auditor being constantly hounded, and Karen Fosnaugh had said that that this had not cost the city any money.
Well, now we know that that's not true. Is that correct?
Well, and this just further is going to illustrate the way that games are played all the time. When she made the statement and when she asked the statement, how much has this cost the city, Robert Landon, because she asked this on Monday, Robert Landon was issued a bill from the IRS 7 days prior and had a $66,000 bill from the IRS that he had there, that she's asking how much has this cost the city, and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't tell us anything. He doesn't say that he has this bill. So she's over there defending him. He's letting her, you know, die on the cross, saying that this hasn't cost the city any money at all. Meanwhile, he knows that what she's saying is a blatant lie. The fact is, she doesn't even know what she's saying is a lie at that point.
So
then, the next day after the meeting on the 15th, he issues this press release.
Well, let me read this, because we have this here, because I want to make sure we read this word for word in deference to the auditor, because he did send this to the station. It's dated June 15th, 2021, press release from Robert Landon, and what it says is, after 4 months and countless hours of council meetings discussing the unfortunate IRS mistake, we have now learned council wanted to refer this to the auditor of state all along. This could have been accomplished early on. In fact, my office notified the Auditor of State early on. While this has been endlessly discussed, council could have been focusing on the economic recovery from the pandemic and solving various other issues facing the city. The only thing we have gained from these countless politically charged meetings is learning the blueprint of select members of Marion City Council who have been more focused on mimicking the political attacks of their colleagues in Washington. Now we must move Marion forward by focusing on the pressing issues facing our community. And that's from Auditor Robert Landon on, I guess it would have been Tuesday, June 15th.
So Monday we passed all three issues onto the state for investigation. On Tuesday, he issues the press release, you know, slamming council that we are just being political. Then on Wednesday, he has his deputy send us all an email saying, oh, by the way, guys, we got our first bill from the IRS, and it's over $66,000, and there's two more bills coming.
Now, at that point, because council emails, I understand there hasn't been a meeting, but has anybody said anything about this $66,000 since you guys became aware on Tuesday?
You know, I think the only thing that, you know, has been said so far, anybody who thought this was a big deal was expecting this to come. I mean, I've said from the start that your inaction and wrongdoings in office are costing the taxpayers over $100,000 on this very issue. And I have said that from the start. And if you look at the fact that this is over 66 already, he actually has never told us, and I actually just learned this yesterday myself, that he paid nearly $1,000 for a quarter prior to this that he had done wrong. So now we are now owed $67,000, and there's two more bills to come, which are probably going to equal in the range of $30,000 to $40,000. And so, you know, like I've told him the entire time, this is going to cost the taxpayers over $100,000. Like, this is not a little mistake. This isn't a game. This isn't Republican Democrat. This is the fact that you didn't do your job correctly, and you are now cost the city six figures.
Now, when this $1,000 was paid by him, which you just became aware of, now, do things like that have to go through city council? Or can the auditor just pay these bills?
So things like that should go through city council. This has been hidden and covered because he paid it, and he took it out of his professional services line item. So he has a certain amount of money for professional services for any consultant work that he needs or help that he needs or, classes that he and his staff need to take or, anything that would be considered under professional services. This doesn't even qualify as a professional services expenditure. It's only, it was only paid and put there and not brought before council because, this is not what he wants discussed in public at all.
So he says in this letter that this is what you guys planned to do all along, was send it to the state auditor, and he had already contacted the state auditor, so why waste people's time?
So did he contact the state auditor? Yes. Did he contact the state auditor after that he has made the mistake, then after he repaid the $1.28 million? And did he contact the state auditor in help to try to get the $1.28 million back? That's when he contacted the state auditor. So, did he lie by saying I contacted the state auditor? No, because he did. The problem is he's very disingenuous in the context that he used it. And that's, you just get so tired of dealing with that over and over and over again that you can never get a straight answer out of the guy.
Was this council's plan all along, as he says?
Absolutely not. And actually, I even said as he was refusing to answer questions, I even told him during the meeting, I said, Robert, what I want out of this is to feel like you've learned something. And to feel that you would do it differently and to feel that this would never happen again. And if I am satisfied with that, I wouldn't even support to send this on to Columbus. My entire intention was to handle this in-house, to handle this locally.
So what happens now that it's going to Columbus? What will they do?
So the state auditor has an investigative branch to it, and it will be assigned to either an investigator or an investigative team, and they will come and look at what has went on, probably interview several people inside of City Hall, and make their finding to us as far as if they feel things were proper or not, and what that they are going to do or that they recommend us to do in a remedy to solve it.
What is the belief at this point? Do we have any belief at all about what might have happened in the auditor's office?
You're talking
when this all was going on in June. The mispayment became aware of last year, is my understanding, but nobody knew about it until early this year. And then the whole thing with the email scam.
Right.
Yeah. So
here's what I have been able to gather. And again, some of this could be shaky because, again, nobody that knows the information is forthright with telling you it. But here's the way that I understand it to be done. Our payroll clerk that has been in that position for a long, long time, she had a death in the family and took bereavement days to go out of state and, be with her family during the time of loss that her family had. And so one of the deputy auditors went in and processed the payroll. And in doing so, did it incorrectly, didn't pay people that worked, paid people that didn't work, did not pay correct amounts of money, and deleted the information of where money gets sent to the federal and to the state. So at the time then that it was time to send the money to the federal and the state, they realized that all the information had been deleted where the money is supposed to go. And so they contacted what is the bank that we use, and on this account, I believe this account is at Fahey Bank. They contacted this company called Magic Writer, who helped them restore some of the information, put it back in the system, so the system knew where to send the money. The problem with our auditor is that he didn't know that we needed to send a payment to both the state and the federal government. And, you know, anybody that's ever filed taxes in their life knows that you get, you know, either you owe or get a refund from the IRS, and you either owe or get a refund from the state of Ohio. You know, I don't know how anybody doesn't know that we hold both state and federal tax out of our employees' paychecks.
When this information was wiped out and it needed to be recovered, and this company, Magic Writer, was contacted, now at this point, do we know if the auditor himself was aware that this had happened?
I believe that he was, and I know that his deputy auditor was well aware, because she is the one who, the same person who deleted the information is the same person who restored the information.
So when the actual mispayment occurred because of incorrect information being put into the computer or whatever it was, the auditor knew that that was going on?
Yes.
Okay. So the idea that he might not have known is not correct.
It is completely not correct. And, you know, this is one time that he was forthcoming with information on the meeting on the 7th, because he wanted to explain, you know, how it was just a clerical error and how it was really Magic Writer's fault that we had the wrong information in there. And I, you know, because he nor his staff knew the information and had to get it from an outside source.
No,
I explained to him at that point, I said, the information that you needed was our federal electronic identification number, correct? And he said, yes. And I said, you know, I said, the problem with you stating that you don't know it is that you had just, you know, you re-inputted all this in early February. The problem is, the end of January, you just issued 350 W-2s to all the city employees, including yourself, and that number is on everyone's W-2. You had this information the entire time.
And his response to that was?
He didn't even know it. And I said, you know, he didn't even know that he had the information. He didn't even know that that number was on the W-2. He, you know, and therein lies the crux of most of our problems. He just doesn't know.
A couple more questions that I think people are interested in here with 15 minutes left to go. When it comes to the whole email scam in which $2,000 was paid out of somebody's pocket, $2,000 paid out of the city's pocket, for an email scam in which somebody working in the office felt that the mayor had emailed them, which he had not, was the auditor aware that that was going on? That $2,000 was being paid out of somebody's own pocket, that then the city credit card was being used to go buy gift cards for a raffle. Was he aware of any of that before the fact or during the fact?
So he says that he was not until the fact that it was all over. But, you know, I don't know how somebody goes into, you know, an employee in his office over multiple days and try, you know, purchased $4,000, tries to purchase another $2,000, so actually rings up $6,000 worth of gift cards over, I believe, a three-day span, and he doesn't know anything about it. Man, that is really hard to try to get me to, you know, buy that.
When we look at this fine that has been levied, $66,217.34, and two more quarters to come. Now, does the city just have this money laying around to pay this fine?
No.
No. So where is this money coming from?
Well, this will be coming from the carryover that we will have moving into next year. I personally, I've thought a lot about this yesterday. I plan on having meetings with our law director at this point, because I would like to explore turning this into Robert Landon's bond company. That, you know, when you take an office like that, you have to be bonded. And if you have performed, you know, misfeasance, malfeasance, or nonfeasance in office, your insurance actually covers it. And, you know, I would like to explore us turning that over to the bonding agent. Because, you know, there's no way that you can say that, you know, this isn't due to, you know, some type of neglect in his duty, and should be covered by his bond, which, you know, is not good for him personally, but it sure helps protect the taxpayers, and that's who I'm out to protect.
Now, when it comes to a carryover, how much is typically in the city of Marion's carryover?
So we try to keep at least a $2 million carryover, ending one year, moving into the next, just because that's what we have to keep the city's bond rating at a certain level and to make sure that we can meet, you know, at least the next two payroll cycles and, pay our bills.
Now, is this something that would have to be voted on, or who would put this budget together that this would end up being a part of?
This would be voted on by the entire council on January 1st. And, you know, and there's an election this year, and most of us are up for re-election, so it's hard to say, when I say most of us, all of us are up for re-election this year, so it's hard to say, who is going to be voting on this, because the people are going to decide in November who actually is going to be voting on this particular budget.
When this all comes down in the end, what has this cost the people in Marion?
Now, which part of it?
Well, the whole thing. Having this since this person, Auditor Landon, became auditor, in your opinion, what has the city of Marion lost or gained because of him being in office?
You know, most of his other egregious mistakes that have been made so far have been caught by either city council or the administration, and we've been able to save the taxpayers, upwards to $1 million or more dollars of other mistakes that have been made. But, you know, this one we didn't catch because nobody else would have known this. Outside of his office. We're talking, in lost revenue from, the money that we would have gotten from this, we're probably talking, $175,000, when it's all said and done at this point.
There is a question, because there have been precedents in the past. It's been a while ago, but back in the 70s, city council at one point called on the city police chief to resign, and he did, because of things they thought that he was doing that were inappropriate. How come, we know all this, we know there are fines being accrued, we know money was mispaid, we know this whole thing happened with the email scam, we know there have been resignations, we know this has now been sent down to the state auditor, but this person continues to operate in this office. Also, as you said, he doesn't answer questions. You feel you've been misled, other people have been misled. Just knowing that, regardless of the auditor's investigation at the state level, I mean, obviously people want to know, but just based on everything we do know, and you say the mistakes that were caught that were going on in that office, he continues to operate in that office, he continues to operate in that position. Why has nobody on city council, not a vote, but voted on or called for a resignation of somebody who they feel is handling the city's money so poorly?
Well, again, he was elected by the people. He's in a term. So, you know, when you are a police chief, you are hired, and you're hired until that you retire. He has an expiring term that he would have to run for re-election for. I thought that there was going to be a possibility that people from the community was going to show up at a meeting and ask him to resign. That's who really needs to call for his resignation. The people are the ones who hired him for this job. I actively campaigned for the person who lost. And I said publicly many times, if you change course in this office, we are going to have catastrophic outcomes that we will be dealing with for years to come. And that's exactly where that we're at today. And we're only halfway through.
Now, certainly anybody in the city could do this. Just say, I think you should resign. But all city council members are city members. Has anybody expressed this, that he should resign?
You know, I don't know who has expressed what to him in private. It has not been said in public, no.
Last time we talked, you had said if he had, I forget the exact quote, but you had said if he had any, I forget the word, so I don't want to say it, but if he, at this point, that you felt he should resign, that's a little different than saying, I think he should resign.
Yeah, and I will stand by that statement today, and again, I don't know my, exact wording, but, again, I do believe that if he had integrity and if he had respect for the taxpayers, he would vacate the office.
Do you feel he should resign?
Absolutely.
Okay. And why
do you
feel that?
Because he can't do the job. And it has been shown over and over and over again that he just can't do the job. He's just not up to it, and I think that it's much more of a position than what he ever thought it was going to be. And, he went in on day one, and he fired everybody in the office that he was able to fire that was not protected by the union. And, even the people that are protected by the union, currently going on in his office now is hostile work environment charges that's been filed by union members of his office now. And, he has so many fires to put out in his life that, I don't know how he focuses on too much of anything, because he just creates fire after fire after fire and, won't work with anybody, won't learn from any of his mistakes, and just keeps just being, bullheaded and, just pressing on that everybody's always just out to get him. Everybody's being political, that they're only picking on him because they're from the opposite party, which, again, could not be further from the truth in the sense that Democrats have the minority of city council, yet it passed with Democrats, independents, and Republican support.
Now, hostile work environment, do we know anything more what these charges are, except they're just saying hostile work environment?
I don't know a ton about it at this point, no. And I'm not even privileged to that at this point, because it's not, it has not been finalized.
Ayers, a lot of people have suggested this, so I'm going to ask you this. Do you or would you ever plan to run for auditor on the Democratic ticket?
No, I do not plan on that at all. And I know that was said by Karen Fosnaugh a month or so ago in the Marion Star. The only reason that I'm active about this is because that's a job that I want to run for. Could not be further from the truth. Not to brag, but I am, very successful in my personal life, and I at this point in time could not take the pay cut from my full-time job to be the city auditor at this point.
Now, the bottom line of this is, before he became the city auditor, he was the first ward councilman. Now, he has been very successful in winning elections. He defeated a long-term incumbent First Ward councilman to become First Ward councilman. He defeated a long-term city auditor to become city auditor. He has ambition. He certainly is not a dumb man to be able to do this. You sat next to him. You're the second ward councilman. What is your read on Robert Landon? Because the makeup of the person certainly could explain a lot of this.
Robert Landon is a really good politician. He's a very poor public servant.
Expand on that a little bit.
You know, in a quick meeting with him, he's very good about giving you a soundbite of what you want to hear or what sounds really good. He's just really poor in executing anything. And, you know, he's good at social media. He's good at issuing press releases. He's good at playing the victim. He's good at, you know, doing a lot of things that a politician can do to advance themselves. If you look at what he's accomplished, the page is still blank.
It's an interesting time here in Ohio right now. A householder has been removed from his position in the House here in Ohio. Charges are being brought against a lot of politicians. Grand juries have been convened because of how people have done their job in a lot of cases, things they have done while they've been in their job. Do these things constitute a possible criminal charge to the auditor when this state investigation is finished?
So, you know, honestly, I don't know. And that's what, I guess, one thing that we're going to find out. I mean, you know, one possible outcome from the state's investigation is that they could refer it to the Attorney General's office. I will wait like you to find out what's actually done.
The term that keeps getting used in the last few minutes we have here in these press releases from Robert Landon, mistake. The term mistake gets used all the time. And apparently by some city council members that voted not to send this down to the state auditor. Why is this not a mistake?
Well, because, you know, it depends on which facet of things that are sent down to the state. The mispayment of the $1.28 million, yes, was a mistake. The repayment of the $1.28 million was intentional. Hiring somebody that doesn't meet the minimum job requirements to be the internal auditor was intentional.
What did come out of the Finance Committee in regard to that? Was anything said of any pertinence?
Also a referral to the state because, you know, there again, he told us he doesn't have to follow the job description that city council can't set forth minimum job requirements. You know, those job requirements were put in place prior to him even taking office. They, you know, prior before he even ran for office. You know, the law director, the mayor, the court, everybody looks for, it's called the Yarger Report, and, you know, everybody follows this now in the city except for our auditor who says he doesn't have to. So, you know, I don't know what you do, how you work with somebody who just doesn't think any rule applies to them.
Here's in our final moment here. This all comes down to the people of Marion, the citizens of Marion. When Mary Ellen Withrow was on this program a couple weeks ago, she said she thought he should resign. That's from the 40th Treasurer's mouth on this show. She felt he should resign and that he didn't know what he was doing. Those were the two quotes from her. And she also felt she did not feel the city's money was safe. So, when we're talking about the people, in your opinion, for all the people listening right now, is the city's money safe?
Safe? I mean, I think by and large, it's safe. I think it's, you know, has the potential to be mishandled. The biggest issue I have as a city councilman, I don't even know how much money that there is. He still can't tell us, and again, we're in the middle of the ways through June, what the carryover is moving into this year.
Now, this to a lot of people is a problem. Because there's
it is a huge problem.
But there's no way to force this issue. I mean, he has total power to keep that from the mayor, from city council, from everybody.
He's not keeping it from us. He doesn't know.
He just doesn't. Isn't it? I don't know. I'm not sure how the auditor's office works. This is not figured out or written somewhere or something.
Well, he is the keeper of the books, and he is the keeper of the records. And the problem is the books have not been reconciled. They're supposed to be reconciled monthly, and he hasn't been able to do it.
Now, why is that?
Because he doesn't know how.
And how long has this been going on?
They have not been fully reconciled since it would be till the end of 2019.
See, I think this is why people are, because I didn't know that till just now. I don't think probably the average person would know that who's listening. I think this is why people think, why is he still there?
Yeah, because they elected him. this is why it is so important to do your homework and elect somebody who's qualified and able to do the job. Because it is really, really bad to have somebody in here who can't.
And there's no intervention that can be done just to get these books up to date?
He has not accepted help from the mayor's office. And I said to you, I am willing to pay a consultant to come in and help him, or to pay an extra person to come in and help get things caught up. It is so far behind. It is hindering the operations of the city to not even know how much money you have to operate with. You know, it is so bad that the city council unanimously, including all four Republicans on city council, has made a decision that any of the stimulus money that we have received from the federal government only runs through the mayor's office, that the auditor cannot touch it.
So at this particular point, the city of Marion, because of the books not being correctly updated since 2019, really has no idea how much money they're operating with.
Correct.
How is a budget put together with that idea?
Well, it's put together. I mean, they will be working on the budget in the mayor's office, later on this year. What I'm assuming to what tactic that they're going to make is to try to give us a balanced budget, and then, if it balances out to zero, we'd have the same carryover moving into next year that we had moving into this year. And maybe Robert Landon will tell us what that is one day.
Well, I do want to, but by the way, just to make this clear, has he said he doesn't know how to do it, or is that an inference that's been made?
It has been said by his deputy auditor on multiple occasions. We're still figuring that out.
Okay.
So, I think it's a proper, I think it's a proper conclusion that he doesn't know how when he's still trying to figure it out.
Do want to let people know, because we do want to be fair on this program, Robert Landon was invited last night, the same time that Ayers was. He has been invited in the past, and the door is always open. At this point, we have not heard anything from Auditor Landon or his office. And that is where that stands. Thank you, Ayers, for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Anytime.
And we'll continue on to see what goes down. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Back in about 10 minutes.
Marion boasted a population of 800 people, 3 churches, a private academy, 2 newspaper offices, 21 stores, 1 sawmill, 1 fulling mill, and 1 carding mill also exist.